Man, this is wonderful, isn't it, to have a little bit of sunshine today? Yeah, we're thankful, we're blessed, we're grateful. It's so nice to, honestly, Ellen and I had no idea it was as early as it was because the bedroom was light. And, you know, before today, it seems like it's just been dark till about 7:30 or 8 o'clock. So it's just wonderful today to wake up with that. And even it's fun to watch people walk into church when there's sunshine, because there's a little bit of a hop in your step. And that's a wonderful thing. And, you know, I read something this week. It said the average person in a lifetime spends 6 months sitting at stoplights. They spend 8 months opening junk mail. I think it's longer than that, to be honest with you. They spend 1 year searching through clutter in their home. Any of you relate? They spend 2 years calling people who aren't available and leave voicemails. They spend 3 years in meetings, online and otherwise. And they spend 5 years waiting in lines for one thing or another. Isn't that amazing that we have that kind of time that sometimes we might want to say it's wasted, or it's time that is not used and maybe in the proper fashion? But I want you to know, as I was pondering the teaching today, and I'll tell you the whole story about how we came to this teaching today in a moment, but I was pondering the teaching today, and as I read this list, I said, you know what, I believe there's one more thing that adds a great deal of time to the average person's life. And I think, and I really wonder how many minutes the average person spends literally, if you will, worrying about the big decisions in his or her life. Now think about that for a moment. Do you ever have decisions that are so large that they literally, you obsess over them during the day and you stay up over them during the night? I mean, those moments when these big time decisions come, they're these big ticket items, if you will, that come, and they almost seem, in some ways, they seem overwhelming, because we realize that when we make this decision, it's not just going to impact me, it's going to impact others that I love and care about. And we literally spend this inordinate amount of time. As I was pondering this, I read a quote that Ellen gave me, and it says, the oldest, shortest words, yes and no, or no, are those which require the most thought. And in certain aspects of our lives, friends, that is absolutely truth. That sometimes mine and your decisions about whether to accept something or whether to turn something down literally takes more time than anything else that we have. I want you to know, I was going to speak on another topic this morning, and then Monday happened. And on Monday mornings, please let me share something with you. On Monday mornings, I'm absolutely exhausted. I know you think, Rylan, how can you be tired? I promise you, it's amazing to me that about 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, I shut down. I mean, I just go to another place. Ellen will tell you this. If I'm out to lunch with you and you go past 2 o'clock, trust me, I'll be laying in the taco salad before it's over. And it's nothing against you. It's just the reality that I don't have any more to give at that point. But on Monday mornings, I really feel that. And I want to tell you why I think it's a healthy thing. Because Monday mornings are also my greatest days of prayer. Because as I shared with you last week, one of the things that I like to do when I pray is walk. I don't walk on Monday mornings. But the Lord tires me enough that I sit with Him. And it's amazing to me on those Monday mornings how God engages me. And on this particular past Monday, honestly, I was studying a passage of Scripture I was led to that I've read hundreds of times. I mean, hundreds of times. And suddenly this passage just absolutely exploded on me. And it gripped me for the rest of the week. In fact, I told Ellen, I shared with Cam Garner that night in discipleship, I said, I just want to read this for you because I can't move past this text. And it's a text on what we call the Transfiguration, where Jesus goes away with Peter, James, and John, and there in the midst of that, His face is transfigured, and literally His clothes are made as white as snow. And so in that moment, what we have is this point where God intervenes. But He goes away, if you will. He goes away from it all to really make a decision. And one of the things that we see today is that one of the times that our lives feel overloaded, please hear me, one of the times that our lives feel overloaded is when we are consumed with big decisions to make. In fact, it's so funny. Have you ever been able to walk up to a person and realize that there's something going on in their lives just by the look of their eyes? And so many times when you say that, they tell you, you know what, there's some dynamics at work I can't even talk about right now, but I know that some decisions are going to be made. I know that I have to make some choices. And in the midst of those, we find this great overload where we feel overwhelmed by the moment. Please know in Matthew, the 17th chapter, the text speaks to a time where Jesus has a big decision to make. I know we call this Jesus' transfiguration, but I promise you, I think it could be called a moment of clarification for Christ and his journey. Now let's just make our way to this passage, because on Thursday morning I felt so led. I called Ellen and I said, you know what, I'm gonna write another sermon today. And so let's go through this text and see how Jesus gives us a model that we can take through big decisions. Matthew 17:1 says, and 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and the two brothers, James and John, and led them up on a high mountain. And notice the phrase, to be alone. Please know something, friends. Jesus went to Mount Hermon to answer a great question. And it was a question that not only impacted him, but impacted every one of us. His question was this, absolutely, am I doing the Father's will in making my way to the cross? He realized that he was about to enter Jerusalem. And when he entered Jerusalem, he understood there was no turning back. Make no mistake, Jesus went up on that mountainside that day to listen for the voice of God. Luke, as he always does, includes more of the nitty-gritty. He writes in greater detail than the other gospel writers. And in chapter 9 of Luke, he just simply informs us that Jesus went there with those three men to pray. He would not take another step. Jesus would not take another step until he was certain that this was God's wish and will for him. I tell you, one of the greatest differences that I find between myself and Jesus is that when major decisions happen, Jesus asks the question, what does God wish me to do? And too many times Roland asks, what do I really want to do? But here Jesus models for us Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 when he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't depend on your own understanding. It really means get beyond yourself and seek his will in all you do. And notice what the phrase says, and he will show you which path to take. You see, when you and I have decisions that are bigger than us, we need to ask the question, is this bigger than me? Because some of our decisions, let's be honest, we make a mountain out of a molehill. Some of us fret over everything. Anybody relate to this? I mean, some of us fret over everything. But there are moments in our lives where we really do need to ask the question, is this issue bigger than me? Is it going to impact those outside my realm? Is it going to make a difference 6 months from now in the way my family lives? Is this going to impact in 1 year? If I look back on it, am I going to notice any great consequence in my life because of the decision I am about to make? You see, here's the thing, though. We need not only ask this question, is it bigger than me? Because one of the critical steps that awaits us is this. How do we best ascertain the will of God in this? How do we ascertain the outcome that God really desires for our lives? How do we place ourselves in the best position to hear from him? And as Jesus does, notice what he does. He needed to include some people on this journey. Who do you and I need to include in this journey for wisdom, for encouragement, for insight? Please hear me, friends. When decisions are bigger than us, then we need to take the steps to gain wisdom that is bigger than us. Like Jesus, when this happens, we not only see God, but we also need to ask the question, who do we enlist to gain the wisdom of others? Now, even as Jesus was praying, the text informs us that God begins to act in this situation. And as the men watched, now hold on to that phrase because it matters to us. It says, as the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed so that his face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as light. Now, I want you to know, this is an absolute fulfillment. This is a noted thing that happened when people came into the presence of God. And it said, as the men watched. This is an important point because Luke wants us to understand and Matthew wants us to understand that these men were positioned to watch this, to be able to testify about this later. To not only say, hey, he went away, he prayed, he came back, he said, yeah, this is the right thing. No, you need to know God touched his life in a physical way. It drew a countenance to him that he couldn't do on his own. And these three men, they watched this, they took notice of this, because their testimony, their affirmation of this was going to be important later on when they needed to stand up for the gospel of Christ. When people would say, yeah, Jesus was just this and that. They say, no, you don't understand. We were there that day. We saw that day. We watched him be transformed. You see, this is a moment when he enlisted the presence and the wisdom of others. He's giving affirmation, putting them in a place to give affirmation to that testimony that will matter on his journey to the cross. And then Matthew also informs us that Jesus is joined by Moses and Elijah. It's important to know because these two men's experiences are literally matching Jesus' experiences. Moses met God in the cleft of the rock on Mount Sinai, and he received the Ten Commandments. His face, his clothing was also transformed. Elijah found God on Mount Horeb, not in the wind, not in the earthquake, but what? In the still, small voice of God. The text does not tell us if his face was changed, but we certainly know that the trajectory of Elijah's life was changed, because when he leaves this mountain, God informs him that he needs to go and find Elisha and literally give the mantle to him. Please know they differed in some ways so that the discussion, you can understand, was rich. It was fertile. But they said, this may not be the way he always, but I want you to know God shows up in these moments. Notice the phrase that Matthew uses. He says, Moses and Elijah appeared, and notice the phrase, and began talking with Jesus. Luke again informs us some more. And listen to what he says in Luke 9:31. And they were speaking about his exodus from this world, which was about to be fulfilled in Jerusalem. You see, Jesus, it's coming to play just like he knew it would. He finds himself on a journey that's going to take him to another journey. And it's a journey beyond this world. You see, this word Exodus, it's a very specific word that held a very special connection to this situation. It's the same English word that we use for Exodus. But I want you to know, in the biblical sense, it means something different to Jesus. Because in the biblical sense, this word means that this is about a person who's about to enter a journey that they have to have absolute, utter trust in God to make their way to an unknown future. That was precisely what both Moses and Elijah had experienced. And it was exactly what Jesus was about to experience on his way to the cross. And I don't know about you, but I find it amazingly comforting and encouraging to know that God the Father, in response to Jesus' pursuit of his will, sent two of the greatest figures in Israel's history to consult and speak into Jesus' life at this moment. Please hear me, friends. When you and I seek God, God doesn't send the second team. God brings himself to bear. God will bring those folks into our lives that can speak from experience. I mean, who better to walk alongside Christ at this critical moment than these two literally iconic figures that had given their very lives to the service and following of God? And in the same way, please hear me, in the same way, friends, God does this for us. God so many times brings folks to us who are equipped with wisdom and experience to speak into our situations. I tell you, even this week, I had breakfast with a friend because I said, hey, there are just certain situations I'm going through now as the church grows and as we move to different positions. I said, I want to sit with you. I want to pick your brain. And this is a person that I've had a relationship with for almost my entire adult life, but in particular over the last 9 to 11 years have been extremely close to. And I want to tell you, there are some moments when the issues are bigger than you and me. Do we get this? And we need somebody from the outside to speak to us. But I want to tell you something. I want to offer a caution in this situation too. Because not everyone that comes to speak with us has the wisdom of experience and what I really believe is the leading of the Holy Spirit. John speaks to this in 1 John 4. Listen to what he says. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who comes to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. This verse very simply means don't believe, don't follow everything you hear. Make certain the person who is speaking is a person whose own life is guided by their commitment to Christ. And a person who you know their life is guided by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Let me add to this that you make certain that you've witnessed this over an extensive period of time, and it's not someone you met in the line at Meijer or at your favorite watering hole down the road. Please hear me, friends. Moses and Elijah certainly met this criteria. And we need to make certain that those who speak into our lives do also. And I'd also like, let me just add something. Make certain that whomever is speaking to you does so without bias. Or as they say down south, they don't have a dog in the fight. Measure their words by the wisdom of others. And please hear me. Measure their words always, 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 always by this question. Do they harmonize with the gospel of Jesus? I remember one time, that is many, many years ago, 20 years ago, I just finished speaking at Salem. And I noticed that the moment the service was over, there was a large man dressed in almost, it looked like a white silk outfit. And he came with an entourage up front. And as I stepped down off of the platform that day, he came up to me right away. And he got in my physical space, I mean close, and he was like 6'7", 6'8". Good morning. I'm Prophet Johnson. And the Lord has told me to come and begin speaking at this church. And all his little minions behind him. I'll be honest with you, I was overwhelmed at first. And then I looked at him and I got up as high on my tippy toes as I could. And I said, well, Prophet Johnson, my name's Roland Daniels. And I'm the senior pastor at this church. And I really believe that if God wanted you to speak here, God would have told me when he told you. But since he has not informed me of this impending transition, please know you'll never speak at this church. And you and your folks are welcome to leave. And with that, the minions looked at him, and with great anger, he turned around and left the church, all of them in tow, never to be seen or heard from again. Friends, please hear me say something. Not everybody that speaks to you about God really does know God. And you need to be aware, you need to be cautious about who you listen to. And you need to make certain, just as they did in Acts 6, that these people, I love Acts 6 because it tells us of a time when the church was having some struggles. And honestly, it was because some people were not being served. Their widows weren't being served in the way they thought they should. So they come to the apostles and they complain to them. And the apostles said this phrase, we should spend our time teaching the word of God and not running a food program. Be careful where you use your gifts and make sure you're in your sweet spot. And then notice what they said. And so, brothers, select 7 folks who are well-respected, and notice what they said, and are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Friends, if the early church cared enough that the folks waiting on the tables were people of wisdom and the Spirit, how important is it when you and I have big decisions to make that we enlist the people who can speak from experience, from love, and from grace, and from a life that has been committed and lived out for Christ. There's no one on the face of this earth who's all-knowing, friends. There's no one who is all-seeing. That's God's realm and God's alone. However, there are people who are filled with the Spirit and they're gifted with wisdom who can come alongside us and give us wisdom as we make our way through this journey of life. Certainly, Moses and Elijah did that for Jesus on this critical day, and it encouraged him, it guided him in his journey to the cross. Man, let me say this to you. If you are a young believer today, if you're starting this thing out in the faith, already begin, please, to build relationships with other seasoned, mature, Spirit-filled believers who over time can be pillars of faith in your life, to walk alongside you, to nurture you, to care for you, sometimes to even lean into you and sometimes to push against you. And third, even when you do this, don't be impetuous. Listen to this. In verse 4, Peter exclaimed, "Lord, it's wonderful for us to be here. If you want, I'll make three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." I like the way Luke describes this. Listen to what he says. "And Peter's and the others had fallen asleep, and when they woke up, they saw Jesus' glory and the two men standing with him. And as Moses and Elijah were about to leave, Peter, not even knowing what he was saying, blurted out, 'Master, it's wonderful for us to be here. Let's make three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah.'" This is Peter, the impetuous one. Peter was a man of action. Peter was a person who always had to be doing something, even without thinking through it. And on this day, he is overcome with emotion. And let's be honest, for a good reason. Who wouldn't, if you were in the presence of Elijah and Moses, wouldn't want to hold on to this moment for a little while? Who wouldn't want to do something just to continue it? But friends, this wasn't that time for that immediate action. This was time for immediate stillness. This was time to stop, to ponder, to process what not only had just happened, but to try to understand the deeper realm of what was taking place right in front of them. Now, my friends, let me ask you something. We have big decisions to make. How important are those two steps for us before we take action? How important is it for you and me to stop and ponder what is really taking place in our lives, and why is it taking place? How important is it before we jump and act? Is it time for you and me to just prayerfully process the wisdom that we have received from other people and to work our way through this so that we have a sense that this is not just based on what somebody else has said, but this is based on what we believe God has said to us? Now, I realize for some of us, this is an in ad infinitum process. In fact, for some of us, this is the process you and I use to keep from making decisions. Okay, hang with me. We have the paralysis of analysis, and we can't move past it. In fact, it's easier for us to think about a decision than it ever is to act on a decision. Any of you relate? Yet graciously in this situation, God Himself intervenes. Listen to what it says. "But even as Peter spoke, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy.'" And then he just simply ends with this phrase, "And listen to him." Imagine what a moment this was for Jesus. You see, certainly he knew the story of the Israelites' exodus from Egypt and the promised land and how God had guided them with the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. I mean, what a monumental way for God to affirm His Son, to tell Him, you know what, you're on the right track. And what a monumental way for God to affirm His Son. and to bless him. And as he's done for people in the past, God's action through the cloud, once again, please hear me. This is what it said to Jesus. I'm with you. And you're not alone. You ever been at a moment in a big decision where you felt all alone? You ever felt that way this morning? Where certain things loom ahead of you? But notice what he says. God goes another step and not only utilizes a cloud, but he speaks these encouraging words. And he does so because he elevates Jesus. He elevates him to those around him by saying, listen to him. God wants us to know that Jesus' words have life. They have power. They're worth listening to. They're worth taking in. Oh, my friends, if I could encourage you in any way today, when great decisions in your life lie before you do anything, before you go anywhere, before you listen to anyone, go and listen to the words of Jesus. And ask the Holy Spirit to help you. You know, these past 2 weeks, we've been teaching on the Holy Spirit in discipleship. And I want to tell you why that's such a critical issue, because I truly believe it's the least used aspect of the Trinity and the most misunderstood. And for so many people who come to Christ, they really don't know of the power of the Holy Spirit that resides in them by the power of Christ. But listen to what Jesus says to us about this. Jesus says, but when the Father sends the advocates, that's the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I've told you. I tell you, when you make big decisions, that's pretty important to take a hold of, isn't it? John 16:13 says, and when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. How important is it that we enlist the words of Christ and enlist the power and guidance and instruction of the Holy Spirit? And at that point, finally, friends, finally, we come to this conclusion that our will and our way is dependent on the will and way of Jesus. I want to tell you, the disciples who were with him were like most of us. They were overwhelmed by the moment, and sometimes we all feel that. It says the disciples were so terrified they fell face down on the ground. And then notice this phrase, then Jesus came over and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. And when they looked up, Moses and Elijah were gone. And listen to this ending. And they saw only Jesus. I love these two verses, because I believe it gives us so many critical insights. First, friends, when you and I are overwhelmed by a situation, I want you to trust something. That just like the disciples were that day, please hear me, Jesus doesn't make fun of us. Jesus doesn't ridicule us. Jesus doesn't deride us. Buck up. He doesn't walk away from us with disappointment that we haven't handled it exactly perfect. No, instead, Jesus made his way to the disciples, and in compassion and in care and in absolute support, he just touched them and said, get up. Don't be afraid. His touch communicated to them and to us, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be overwhelmed. I want you to know I'm here. Let me ask you something. You ever been at a place where you needed somebody to hug you? Now, some of you cringe at hugging. But you ever had a moment in your life where you needed a hug? You ever had your child or grandchild walk into your bedroom in the middle of the night and said, I had a nightmare. Can I sleep with you? Oh, friends, you curl up to them so quickly, you can't even wait. It's like you're one person. But I want to tell you something. When you reach out to them, when you touch them, when you care for them in their fear, in their fright, You are literally representing what it's like when Jesus touches you. When He says to you, you don't have to be afraid, I'm here. I will hold you as long as you need me to hold you. I will walk with you as long as you need me to walk with you. I will be with you as long as you need me to be with you. Psalm 91 says, and those who live in the shelter of God will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare, the psalmist writes, that God alone is our refuge. He is our place of safety. He is our God, and we can trust Him. For He will rescue us from every trap. He will protect us from every disease. And He will cover us as a mother hen does for her chicks. He will cover us with His feathers. He will shelter you by His wings. And His faithful promises are mine in your armor and protection. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You see, I absolutely believe that that last line, and the worship team can come on up. I absolutely believe that the last line in this particular verse is the exact place that you and I always want to end up when big decisions have to be made. Listen to it. And when they looked up, Moses and Elijah were gone, and they saw only Jesus. You see, all the periphery was gone. All the other white noise and voices lay silent. All the other thoughts of building this or building that, all of that was removed. And the focus of the disciples was simply on Jesus and Jesus alone. And my friends, that's exactly how it should ultimately be for us. We should always go through the process of seeking and searching the right answer. Let's be honest, God's given us good minds and He's given us common sense. We should always seek out the wisdom and insight of others who are seasoned and knowledgeable in this journey. We need to utilize the resources. We need to utilize the relationships that God has graciously put around us. But at some point, friends, we need to come down to the basic tenet and place that our focus, our intent, our will, and our focus lies totally and completely on the will and way of Jesus Christ for mine and your lives. And if we'll do that, in the crux of those moments, then most times, I say most times because none of us are infallible. Most times, friends, we're going to make the right decision when big decisions need to be made. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will make our paths straight. Father, we bless Your holy name today. We are so grateful that in the midst of big decisions, in the midst of those times in our lives when we feel overloaded, when we feel consumed, when, Lord, if we're going to be honest with You, when we're obsessed over decisions coming down the pike, that honestly other people, and even in our house, are afraid to talk to us. They hear it all the time. That would be me, Jesus, I'm speaking about. Lord, grant us the wisdom and the patience to seek You. Grant us those moments as Jesus did to go and be alone and to pray, to take those trusted friends with us, those people that You have birthed in our lives, that we built relationships with, that we trust, we've watched over time. God, we've watched them live out their faith. We've watched the Holy Spirit literally kind of reek from them because they're so guided by You. and let us go and sit and listen, God. And then, God, don't let us jump. Don't let us be our impetuous selves. Let us take time to stop and process what's been given to us. Let us depend on your Holy Spirit speaking to us, guiding us, directing us, nudging us, comforting us, encouraging us, strengthening us. Let us be dependent on your Spirit. And then, God, just let us see you only. And know that you, Jesus, you are enough. Amen and amen.